counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But something happened. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I want to talk tonight, Mr. Thought, haunted by the past. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd help each of us to realize that we don't have to let our past continue to haunt us and to hinder us from growing in the Lord. I pray and ask God that tonight, as we continue this series on life's challenges, that we'd all realize tonight that one of the challenges that each of us face is the challenge of our past and the haunting of our past that will try to be used as a hindrance to stop us from growing and getting closer, God, to you. But I pray, God, that tonight that your Holy Spirit will reveal some truth to us, because the Bible says this, that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. So God, we call upon that precious promise from the Word of God tonight, and we ask you that your Holy Spirit would guide us into the truth about our past and the victory that lies before us. I pray, God, that when we leave here tonight, we leave encouraged. I pray, God, we leave motivated. I pray, God, we leave uplifted. I pray, God, we leave in such a mindset that we can't wait to face tomorrow's journey. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. And then, my mind shifts to those who might be amongst us or might be watching right now or later that are not sure of their eternal destination, which is one of the most important decisions that any person will ever make in their life. What will they do with Jesus? But I pray, God, tonight, there's one here, Father, that's in that struggle, that's in that battle. I pray, God, to get it settled and get that assurance and then move forward for Jesus. And then, Lord, if I've left anything out, matter of fact, if there's anything between you and I that will hinder you from using my feeble vessel, I pray, God, that you'd clean me up and forgive me and then use me for your honor, yes, sir, and your glory. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. God, help us. We need it desperately. That's it for now, Master. For we make our son or our request in the name of your son and our Savior, who is not a weak Jesus, but a mighty Jesus. And it's in his name we do pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Haunted by the past. As I already mentioned earlier, that the messages that we are going through and preaching are from this this series called Life's Challenges, are from the various pieces of paper that you turned in, the things that were on your mind, that were on your heart, that you wanted us to address. And this is one of those. And the question actually reads like this, giving up the ghosts of the past that will not let you grow in God. As I thought about that, I summed it up and I titled it this, Haunted by the Past. And sometimes because we're haunted by our past, it hinders us in our present state and will hinder us in our future. But I've got good news for us tonight. We do not have to be haunted by our past. That word haunted means to be frequented by ghosts. But these ghosts, and what does a ghost do? A ghost is there to disturb us, to distress us, to worry us. And the ghosts that we're referring to are the ghosts of the past. The things of your past. But watch this. That word ghost here means a mere shadow or a semblance or a trace. In other words, it's something dead. Then that should help us about right there. A ghost is something dead. By the way, the ghosts of our past are dead things that are behind us that really cannot harm us one bit. But yet the enemy uses the ghosts of our past to haunt us and to hinder us from going forward for the Lord Jesus. And we're going to talk about a man in a few moments who understood what it would mean to be haunted by your past. And oftentimes it's that which hinders us. The synonyms for the word haunted are to agitate, to annoy, to harass, to hound, to torment, to trouble, to vex, and even to pester. But the antonym, which the opposite, is to be unconcerned, to be unmoving. Watch this. Normal. Listen, my dear friends, we should not be moved in a negative way by our past. Now, positive would be to learn from our past, to not repeat our past in a negative way. And what we're referring to, my dear friends, is how the enemy used our past to stop us from going forward for God Almighty. That word past means simply this: history of a person. History of a person. Having existed or occurred during a time previous to the present. It happened back here. Well, then why is it affecting me right here? Because the enemy is trying to use it to hinder me from going forward. And oftentimes we listen to that voice of the enemy and we're paralyzed by fear. Fear to make the next step. As I did some more research on that, I realized there are things that harm us from our past and hinder us from our spiritual growth. And one of those things is called past sins. Past sins. Yeah, it happened. But key word, past sins. But the enemy will use our past sins to haunt us in our present state, hinder us from growing in God. Why can't be used by God? Because of my past sins. Or perhaps it's my past mistake or my past failures. Watch this. My past hurts. I was hurt in the past. And the enemy's using that to haunt me with, to hinder me from going forward. Maybe that past hurt was something that was committed against us, or perhaps it was something that was committed by us to someone else. That's different. Because if you've hurt somebody, you've really hurt somebody, the enemy can use that and say, you know what? How in the world are you going to serve God, be used by God, when you hurt that person in such a devastating way, and you'll call yourself trying to help people now? You hurt that person. You wounded that person. And the enemy will haunt you with that. And you say, well, I can't really help nobody today. There's no way I can help anybody because of how I hurt somebody else. Or because I have been hurt. Why would God want to use me? The enemy uses these things to hinder us. I was reading some quotes about the past. One of the quotes was this: never let your past get in the way of your future. Your past can't be changed, and your future doesn't need the punishment. Let me read that again. Never let your past get in the way of your future. Your past can't be changed, and your future doesn't need the punishment. And a lot of times, we're punishing our future because of our past, what can't be changed. Listen, I can't change the fact that I used to do cocaine. I can't change the fact that I used to drink alcohol. I can't, it's a fact, it happened. I can't change it. But I could let it be used to hinder me from serving God today or going closer. And the enemy will do his best to do just that. Hauntings from the past can cause depression. Hauntings from the past can cause anxiety. It can cause fear and then cause discouragement, and the list goes on. There's a lot of things that the hauntings of the past can cause to hinder us from growing in God Almighty. The question is, are we going to continue to let them haunt us? Things from the past. The hauntings of the past can be defeated. How's that, preacher? Well, for one thing, if it's sin, it can be forgiven. What do you do? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins. Okay, if we confess, let's go ahead and read that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Not that I haven't been practicing that verse, but go ahead and read 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Look what the Bible says here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, don't use this for no escape to do stuff. Don't do that. You know, we're like lawyers. You know, Christian, she works in a lawyer's office, and I'm sure a lot of times they're looking for those loopholes. Well, I'm going to do this, and here's my loophole to make it okay. No, we're talking about true confession. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says this, if we confess our sins, the Bible says He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That means my sins of the past have been forgiven and they have been cleansed. But not only do I need to have them forgiven, but I also need to do something else. Forgive myself. A lot of times that's the hard part. God has forgiven us, but we've not forgiven ourselves. And my dear friends, the enemy will use that and use that and use that, but God says, believe me and trust my word. I have forgiven you. Receive the forgiveness that God has given us and move forward and not be stuck in the same spot. Now go back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here's a good example of a man that did not let his past haunt him and hinder him. The Bible says in verse number 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me for that He counted me faithful. The Bible says, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Another quote says this about the past. Your past is not your destiny unless you repeat it. Your past is not your destiny unless you repeat it. Paul wasn't going planning on repeating this stuff. But now another quote goes like this. Don't let the past steal your present and future from you. A lot of us have let the past steal our future and our present from us. And one more quote says this, if you keep carrying the same bricks from your past into your future, you will end up building the same house. And wonder, why is this like this again? You're using the same stuff from back there. Don't use those anymore. Now watch this about Paul. The first thing we see is Paul's past. The Bible says, who was before a blasphemer. That word blasphemer means a slanderer. That means talking about folks. Of course, in his case, he was talking about Christ and Christians. But let me break it down for us. Is that part of our past? We've been a slanderer? What's this? I ain't never slandered nobody. Are you sure? Let's bring it down home. What about your ex? Never silence. All the exes, if they're not careful, slander one another. Well, they're this, they're that, they're this, they're that. I'm talking about whether it's an ex-husband, an ex-wife, an ex-best friend, an ex-neighbor, an ex-employee. It's amazing. But listen, when you take a job, isn't it amazing? You take a job, then when you take a job, the person that left, that was before you, gets blamed for everything. Well, you know, they ain't got this. Well, you know, he did that. He didn't do this. Or she didn't do that. You do know that's called slandering. Well, it's the truth. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, speak the truth in love. Well, number one, is that in love? Huh? Listen, my dear friends, if we're not careful, our mouths will get us into trouble and we'll be slandering people. And the Bible says that we're to uplift one another, to build each other, not to tear each other down. And then, my dear friends, all of a sudden, we're leading the class or we're teaching or something, or we're trying to sing in the choir. And then all of a sudden, the haunt comes. You know you've been talking about folks. How you gonna get them to sing in the choir? Well, you've been slandering people all week. Well, how are you going to teach that class? Or how are you going to preach that word? Or how are you going to do this when you've been slandering people? Paul, the Bible says here, was a blasphemer. He was a slanderer. That's a key word there, was. He also was a persecutor. That means one that pursues another unjustly. Well, I ain't never treat nobody unjustly. Are you sure? It's amazing, my dear friends, how we can always become the victim, but we're never the victimizer. But sometimes we are the victimizer. What are you saying, preacher? These are things, and of course, what he was doing was against the church and against Christ. The Bible says, and he was injurious. That means he was uplifted with pride and doing others wrong. He treated other people wrongly. He was bringing women and children and hauling them to be killed and be slaughtered because they knew Christ and received Jesus as a Savior. Sounds familiar in our world today. The Bible says this is who Paul was. And the enemy, no doubt, could have tried to use these things when he's standing up there preaching before multitudes. He said, wait a minute, Paul, you're the same guy that was imprisoning these people. You are hurting these people. You are harming these people. You are wounding these people. But see, Paul had gotten that forgiven. That was in Paul's past. He said, I was. That's what I was. But it's not where I am today. Your past is what you were. It's not what you are today. And don't let the enemy continuously use your past to hinder you from going closer to God and going forward. He said, no, you used to do this. And yes, I used to. It's in my past. So I said, but it ain't always Satan that brings it up. It's them other people. That's all right. They got a past too. Yeah, all right, I'm going to bring theirs up. No! Don't bring theirs up. The Bible don't say do evil for evil. It says, no, that ain't how you work this thing. So I said, I don't know what that verse said. I'm glad you asked. This is what it says in Romans. Go look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And look what the Bible says here. In Romans 12 and verse number 17. The Bible says, recompense to no man. Verse 17, Romans chapter 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's the problem, preacher. I tried. Did you? Yeah, I did. That's the problem. You did. Let the Holy Ghost work through you. Not your strength, but His strength. Watch this. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. People, I know people going, yeah, preach the word. Hold on. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's Him speaking. Therefore, if an enemy hunger, somebody said, yeah, preacher, starve him. No, feed him. Give him some rib tips. I didn't know that was my nickname down there in West Virginia for some of the young people. They couldn't remember my name. And they said, preacher, because I'd been to one of the other camps. And they said, we couldn't remember your name. We've been calling you Rib Tip. Yes, sir. You talking about Rib Tip? Because I preached one time. I was talking about Rib Tips. That's my nickname down there, Rib Tip. Amen. But anyhow, that's another story. But give me some Rib Tips. I'll eat them. Nonetheless. Therefore, by the enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Yeah, preacher, that head burn on fire. No, we ain't talking about that. That's more like revenge. But I tell you what, it does make a person shame when you're doing good to them and they're trying to hurt you. The Bible says, verse 21, this is a key verse. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with evil. Oh, I'm sorry. With good. That's how you overcome evil. With good. What are you saying, preacher? When you flip back over to Timothy, Paul understood this. And Paul's past was vile. Paul's past was ugly. And no doubt the enemy will try to bring these things to Paul's mind. But instead, Paul said, that's my past. Because I received something called God's grace. The Bible says in verse number 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. That means it was overflowing with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, man, I was jacked up, messed up from the floor up, but hallelujah, I got something called grace and faith and love. And he said, you know what? It was overflowing. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. When it's overflowing, man, that means this is all over the place. And that's what Paul says. I got grace.
But here, so we see Paul's past, God's grace. Thirdly, we see Paul's view of his past. Look what he says in verse 15. This is how he viewed it. This is a faithful saying, a trustworthy saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do something, to save sinners, of whom, I'm chief. He didn't say, well, your sin bigger than my sin. I was the chief one, chief of sinners. This is how Paul viewed his sin. Yep, see, you take away a person's strength when they can't use something against you that they're trying to use. In other words, for example, we used to run the dozens. Well, they did, mainly. When we was growing up, they're trying to find weakness. And they hit you there, boom, boom, especially if it affects you. But if it didn't affect you, they can't use that. You got to move, try to find something else. But you let them know you wounded, you let them know you hurting, man, they going for blood. But they say, man, you ain't nothing but old cheap sinners. You the cheapest sinners. So I sure am. I'm like, huh? Yeah, I'm number one, top dog. Right at the top. You know, I'm the chief of sinners. But look what Paul goes on to say. I was the chief of sinners. I was all messed up. But then Paul says, how be it? Glory to God. How be it for this cause? Hallelujah. For this cause, Paul says, I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth or demonstrate all long suffering or patience for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul says, you know what? I was used as an example of somebody that Jesus Christ gave patience to. He was long suffering with me, but then he also used me as a pattern. How many times have we talked to people who have committed some of the most hideous crimes or sins that you can think of, and we say, you know what? Apostle Paul was a murderer. Women and children. This is what he was doing. If anybody deserved to go to hell, sure was Paul. Read about his life. When God met him, he wasn't seeking God. He was seeking to kill more Christians. Going down the Damascus Road to get letters to make sure he could bring them back and have them killed. But he met Jesus Christ. His life was changed. We have used his life many a time to tell people, you know what? It doesn't matter what you've done, how far you've gone. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he'll forgive you of your sins and place you in the family of God. And he'll use you beyond your wildest dreams. Paul says right here, my view of my past is that God uses my past to help other people. This is my dear friends. He goes on. We see, he said in verse number 16, he said, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern, for them which shall hereafter believe on him to life everlasting, and then we see his praise. Now unto the King eternal. He preaching. Immortal. He preaching. Invisible. Hallelujah. The only wise God. Be honor and glory, not for a few days, not just on Sunday, not just on the midweek service, but he says forever and ever. Then he stops and says, amen, glory, hallelujah. He's praising God because God delivered him from his past. But let me give you something else. We see something else that we can't overlook for a moment, but we see Paul's growth. Paul's past and hinder his growth. How do you know that? Look at verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. He has empowered me. He has strengthened me for that he counted me faithful, trustworthy, putting me, placing me in the ministry, the service for Almighty Jesus Christ. Paul says, this is what God did for me. Because as he grew, God continued to place him and use him. And we look at Apostle Paul as being one of the greatest of apostles. He wrote half the New Testament. The same man that killed Christians wrote half the New Testament. I don't think his past hindered him from growing. But instead, his past helped him to propel and go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, oftentimes what we do is we're afraid of what they're going to find out. They're gonna find out about this. And I'm done. I'm doomed. You know what? When you get up and say, you know what? I was messed up! I was messed up!
He was messed up.
Yeah! But God helped me. And sometimes with God's liberty, you tell people what God did for you. But a lot of times, one of the first things I do when I preach somewhere I've never preached at before is I give my testimony in the midst of my sermon. God let them know who I am. When they see me walking in there, all they see is this guy got a suit and tie on, you know, well, he don't know nothing about nothing. But I start telling them how drugs used to be a part of my life, how it was leading my life, the alcohol and all that mess. I tell you what, all of a sudden, people start listening. Then after service, it never fails. After service, they'll come up, Miss Bobby, and they say, could you pray for me? I'm going through something. Could you help me? You know what I'm doing? Using my past not as a hindrance, but as a help. Now, Satan, not God. God don't come by and bring up your past to hinder you. No, sir. That's always from the other side. That's from the enemy's camp. That's not from God's camp. When God convicts you of sin, it's for you to get it confessed. And then go forward. What Satan does, after you have been forgiven and you have been cleansed of your sin, he brings it up to hinder you. And God says, don't let that hinder you. Don't let that hold you back. Go forward. We ain't got time to stand still. Go forward. You stand still, you're going to get shot. What are you saying? When you're in the army, they're in the war, you just stand still? No. You better be moving. It's hard to hit a moving target. But you just stand right there for the enemy to slap you upside the head. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want anybody slapping me upside the head. I don't, especially Satan. And he knows exactly how to get us. And he'll get us in one of them holes, and we'll be all defeated and depressed and all that kind of stuff. We can't move. We're paralyzed. That ain't God. That's not God. That's the enemy. And what he has done, and he's winning that particular battle. But when you get back up, like Paul, and say, you know what? He counted me faithful. I was messed up, but he counted me faithful. I was jacked up, but he counted me faithful. And he placed me in the ministry, in the service of an all-living God. And now my past doesn't haunt me. It don't hurt me. God used it for me to shout hallelujah and praise God. Whew. What are you battling with in your past that the image he's bringing up? So, a preacher, that's one thing. That was 30 years ago, 20. But, this happened like last week. Okay. What was last week? Your future or your present? It was your what, Miss Carrie? That's your past. Well, that's my recent past. Your recent what? Well, past. What you're doing is allowing that to hinder you. Well, preacher, I can't just like act, it never happened. He didn't say that. He said walk around and like, well, that never happened. It never happened. It happened. But learn from it. Grow from it. Because there's things that you and I will probably battle with probably the day we go to heaven for some things. I mean, you said, I'm tired of battling this. Can't keep on battling it. There's some things, man, you can, like cussing, Miss Bobby, that was no problem. For me, it was Friday, I was cussing. Dirty jokes. Monday, that was gone. That was gone. I didn't cuss again until was about, see, I said again, until about nine years later. And that person said something to me, and before I knew, I said what I said, and I was like, well, I might as well go ahead and cut him. But I didn't. I didn't cut him. I didn't cut him. Praise God. I've been in jail if I'd have cut him. But anyhow, I'm preaching already, but I was like, Lord, you got to forgive me of that. But he said what he said to me, and my response was right back. And I went in there, got that knife, and I'm going to come in and just cut her, and then, Lord said, don't do that. Just call 911. I said, okay. I kind of cut him just a little bit. Don't y'all tell DJ this. But when DJ was, how old was he, about 10, 11, something like that? And we get a call from the school. They got DJ with a knife. So we got to go down to the school. Oh, man. And they asked DJ. And he told us, we're going to church. He told the truth. They said, what was you going to do with that knife? He said, I was going to cut him, but just a little bit. I'm sitting there, son, don't tell me you don't cut nobody, amen. He was suspended for how many days? I don't know. It was about a month. I mean, anyhow. But he said, I'm just going to cut him. But now, the guy was a bully, trying to bully somebody. And he was, DJ's always been the type to kind of step in, you know, for the weak person, whatever case might be. Even though he was little himself. But he said, I'm just going to cut him a little bit. It wasn't going to be. I'm like, how you ain't no expert. Well, it's going to be like, you wait right there. Woo, that's how I'm going to do. Well, you know what? The enemy does want to cut us. It's not a little bit. He must use our past to do the cutting. But God said, tell you what, won't you cut the past out because it's in the past. We're in the present and we're in the future. It's time to go forward. Let me leave you this. We're done. I got three questions. We're done. First question is this. Are you being haunted by your past? Are you being haunted by your past? Secondly, is your past hindering you from growing in God? Is your past hindering you from growing in God? The third question is this. This is key. Have you asked for forgiveness, and watch this, and forgiven yourself? Have you asked for forgiveness and forgiven yourself? When you ask for forgiveness, the Bible says He cleanses us of all sin. He washes it away. The last one is a statement. If we have not done that, let's start now. Father, thank you for